who's listening today. It is Saturday. It is September 19th, 2020. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting, as always, from the Chicago suburbs. It's actually a beautiful day out. The sun is out, although I did turn on the furnace this morning because it was actually 65 in my house. So I guess fall is quickly approaching. I'm really happy that you join me today at republicbroadcasting.org. And I'm also asked that you subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. Of course, you know that you can ask questions via our email program, which is comment@spingola.email. I invite you to visit our mostly friendly chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And of course, you know that you can look at the people that I've interviewed for the past almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years next month that I've had the pleasure of having a radio program on RBN. It has been wonderful. I've met so many incredibly interesting people, and I consider it just an honor to be able to chat with people that do so much in what we refer to as the truth movement. And one of the people that I have admired for quite a long time, I feel like I've known my first guest for a long time, because I read his book, apparently his first book, which was published in 1988, and with the title of The Shadows of Power. And I bought it, and it was just a very enlightening book. So I feel like I have known James Perloff for a long time because I have read his other books also. So our first guest today for 2 hours is James Perloff. His website is jamesperloff.com. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It is also available in Kindle. And The Shadows of Power, which I already mentioned, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline, and 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, Past and Present. Now, he just came out with a book, which is just a fabulous compilation. And unlike one of the interviewers that spoke with you, I would not have changed it a bit. Your writing is concise, to the point, very detailed. You're not redundant. I tend to be redundant and kind of drag things out, but you're very concise. Your writing is, well, perfect. James, welcome to the program. Are you there? Oh, James is muted and it can't. Okay, so we need to.
Can you hear me now?
Can. Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I didn't even realize I'd hit the mute button, but in any event, I heard your introduction. I want to thank you for it. And I also want to congratulate you on your upcoming 10th anniversary of being on RBN. That's quite an achievement.
Yeah, it really is. It went by really fast, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, mostly. mostly. And, it's been great. I'm not planning on going anywhere, but it is the 10th anniversary coming up on the 23rd of October. And like I say, I've interviewed some fabulous people and some not so fabulous people. So you're one of the fabulous. You're on the good side here.
Well, Deanna, so, I found that podcast and talk show hosts are often the best informed people around because they have such a variety of guests who bring such unique information, and they, they take in that information over the years, and they themselves become quite expert on broad variety of issues, such as yourself. And you, of course, are, I consider you the best informed podcast host out there, radio show host out there on World War II, bar
none. Thank you. I appreciate that. Your book is, it's not going to be on Kindle, but one of the things with your book is that you have all, and the reason it's not going to be on Kindle, what is the reason?
Well, as I understand it, Amazon generally doesn't like, you know, a lot of this book is can be found for free online, about 60% of it. And as I understand it, Kindle doesn't like it if you are also have free, the same material for free online. Not that all of it's there, but they, I think they make you wait a period of time. I'm afraid by the time I was able to assemble a Kindle book, which does require a completely different set of codes and a very different way of linking things, that by the time it was available to be on Kindle, that not only would the situation have changed, but Amazon might have decided to censor the book altogether. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's why I'm actually doing a separate printing from Amazon's on-demand service, where the book is
good.
Well, I'm also doing a separate printing, which will be entirely under my own control, so that if the book does get censored, I'll still be able to make it available from myself and from secondary sellers.
I think that it will be censored, to tell you the truth. I just think there's so many things in here that are just so telling. One of the things that struck me the most, I think, is chapter five. The first page, the very first page of chapter five, is titled "Putting COVID-19 in Perspective," and at the very bottom, you have deaths by abortion. And abortion has always been a topic of interest for me, because I remember when Roe v. Wade passed, I was shocked, horrified. I mentioned it to people at church about how terrible it was, and they just kind of poo-pooed it. And since then, what, 55 million infants have been slaughtered? But anyway, deaths by abortion from January 1st to March 25th, 2020, 9,913,702 deaths by abortion. That just makes me very, very sad and mad, because children are the most precious gifts that people could possibly have. I cherish my children. One of them has passed, and I cherish them. They're the best part of my life. They were the best part of my life. Taking to the library, going to the lake, going on bike ride. It was just the most precious moments that a parent could have, that I shared with my children. So this makes me very sad, obviously.
Yeah, and the point that that specific graph was making was that when the country went to lockdown, COVID deaths were actually very minor in comparison to many other causes of death, which abortion topped the list. It was way below suicide and other causes. But, you know, speaking of abortion, one thing I've noticed, Deanna, is that one of the great common themes of we call the 1%, the deep state, the global elite, the establishment, whatever we call them, is population reduction. We've all seen those quotes from Robert McNamara saying how the death rates have to go up, and Ted Turner saying he wants to reduce world population by 95%, and Bill Gates, you know, his famous TED Talk, and Zbigniew Brzezinski saying it's so easy to kill a million people today compared to the past when it was easier to deceive a million people. If you look back to the eugenics movement of the 1930s, where we had 35 states with eugenic laws, if you look to abortion, if you look at transgenderism and gay marriage, these things reduce population. Sex robots was a thing that came out a couple of years ago. That reduces population. The various things that they're doing the demasculinizing of males. The various there's so many things they're doing that have as a common denominator the reduction of the population. And of course, that goes for the way they poison us too, through the GMOs, the fluoride, the vaccines, etc. You know, we have this incredibly high autistic rate, and obviously people who are autistic are not good candidates for reproduction. So you take a look at what's going on with the establishment, the things they do to us. War is another one, of course. What we just reduces population more than war, another thing they've contrived. So population reduction runs all through the history of the deep state.
Oh, how true. How very true. And I don't think that there's too many families that are not hit or impacted by some member of their family being autistic or having Asperger's or some other form on the autistic spectrum. There's right. So many people.
And it was almost non-existent before. It existed, but not anywhere near. I think in 1983 it was 1 in 10,000, and now it's what, about 1 in 40, 1 in 50. Depending on what numbers right. You look at. So obviously there's a reason, and I certainly, I'm speaking as a registered nurse myself, I don't think it's any coincidence that as the vaccines have gone up from 6 to around 70 before children and in school, we've seen a proportionate ratio of the increase of autistic children, which medicine itself just tries to claim is accidental with no relationship. But obviously everything has a cause.
Right. And you mention on page 71 in your book, you talk about being a registered nurse, and you talk about the nursing home situation and versus the hospital situation with COVID-19. And they totally reversed the policies. And of course, this has to do with when you think about New York and some other places, this is just not the policies that should have been in place. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Again, I've been a registered nurse since 1975, and I retired last year before the COVID crisis hit. But you know, I've worked I worked primarily as a med-surg nurse in major hospitals in the Boston area. But I also work sometimes doing home care, and sometimes I worked in nursing homes as well. And, you know, the policy in a nursing home is an environment where people live. It's not an acute care setting. It's a place where you have people usually assist you with eating, dressing, bathing as necessary, but it's not a place to be sick. So the policy in a nursing home was, if we had somebody, a nurse's aide reported to me that a certain patient had a fever, but we'd need a doctor's order first, but our standardly we would send them to the hospital so that the cause of the fever could be determined. You know, was it a urinary tract infection? They have a chest x-ray to see if it was pneumonia. And typically they would be treated for 2 or 3 days in the hospital, usually with, you know, the IV antibiotics and IV fluids to hydrate them. And then once the fever subsided and they were feeling a bit better, they would be sent back to the nursing home once they were no longer contagious. But you see what happened with Cuomo in New York or in Pennsylvania, where they say that about 70% of the COVID deaths in Pennsylvania were from nursing homes being sent COVID patients. They did the exact opposite of that protocol. They took acutely ill patients and put them into nursing homes. And I can definitely say, although the quality will vary from nursing home to nursing home, as a general rule, nursing homes are not equipped. They don't have the staff, the training or the equipment, the gallons, et cetera, needed to isolate patients who are acutely ill. Quite often in most hospitals, in most nursing homes, they have roommates, so they're not in, you know, in isolated rooms. And so, of course, the disease spreads quite quickly. And so it was really a death sentence. And I do quote a couple of doctors who are whistleblowers, Dr. Simone Gold, who's gotten a lot of attention lately. She was one of those doctors recently on the Supreme Court steps. Who got fired from her position as an ER doc for speaking out. And also, she did a joint whistleblowing interview with Dr. Dan Wolgelertner, trained at Yale. And they spoke about the fact that Andrew Cuomo could have sent those acutely ill patients to the Comfort, USS, the hospital ship, the Comfort, which was empty in New York Harbor, or to the Javits Center, which was also empty, and they were equipped, but he didn't. Instead, he sent them into the nursing homes, and Candace Owens specifically, I quote her on this, that she believes that he was looking for a quick out on the rising cost of Medicaid, which was threatening to, you know, go bankrupt in New York. And killing these people off, of course, was a swift way to do that. But in the opinions of Drs. Gold and Wogelatner, this is a criminal thing. There was no excuse for it whatsoever.
Right. It was a budget thing. And of course, the Medicaid is paid for by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think that throughout the United States, you can see evidence of the fact that because states are required to pay a large portion of the Medicaid, I think it's 40% or something like that, 60, I'm not sure which it is, but states are unable to maintain infrastructure. And that was the way that it was set up first. And it was really when we got Medicare back in 1965, they started Medicare, mm-hmm. It seemed like, oh, what a wonderful thing. And it's like any other so-called benefit that we get from the government. It seems to be a good benefit. It seems to be something really good for the consumer or the resident. And it turns out that it isn't, that it all seems to funnel into Big Pharma's pockets.
Oh, yeah. Well, Big Pharma is certainly one of the chief villains in this whole scenario. You know, seeing the suppression of hydroxychloroquine, which is, I have a chapter on.
Right.
I tried to devote it's 27 short chapters in this book, and I tried to cover every aspect of COVID. Hydroxychloroquine is obviously one of them, and I felt it deserved a chapter on its own because I quote a number of doctors who've had amazing success. And of course, the very first was Dr. Didier Raoul, the eminent microbiologist of France, who did a study on over 1,000 patients in France who were having an over 90% recovery rate with hydroxychloroquine used with azithromycin. But the American doctors were doing even better, almost 100% recovery using hydroxychloroquine with zinc. And that cost, hydroxychloroquine, of course, been around since the 1940s. It's totally safe. It's FDA approved. And by the way, Dr. Fauci knew totally about the effectiveness of this because his own journal of the NIH, the Journal of Virology, published an article back in 2005. Let me just get the title of that. It's called Chloroquine is a Potent Inhibitor of SARS Coronavirus Infection and Spread.
Wow.
That's from his own journal. You know, so he already knew that. But Big Pharma knew that this hydroxychloroquine treatment cost $20 or less, and it's not patentable, at least anymore. And so they wanted to get rid of it. And I think they were not counting on public awareness or the fact that doctors were going to have tremendous success with this. So that a tremendous campaign has been underway, even conducting fake trials. And then there was a scandal. This is tremendous. I was so pleased to see that the British press was doing a better job than our American press in exposing some of the things going on with COVID. The Guardian ran an expose on an American company called Surgisphere, which claimed it had a database of 12,000 hospitals, and they were claiming that their database showed hydroxychloroquine didn't work. Now, The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine used those statistics in their own journals to say that hydroxychloroquine didn't work. But the Surgisphere was exposed by The Guardian. Three female journalists there did an outstanding article, which I quoted in my book. And they showed that Surgisphere, at last count, had three employees, one of whom was an actress, another one was a science fiction writer. They okay. obviously did, you know, it's pretty clear they did not have the ability to manage a 12,000 hospital database, as they were claiming. And so these journals, leading journals, had retracted their articles. But I see we're at a break. So
yes, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. Have to teach the children about living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in their hands. Watching us close, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand. It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. When you care, there's something inside reaching for a dream. to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me.
Very light sound. I heard the, but I just am not hearing any sound at all. Don't know what is going on. I'm just not sure what is going on here. Check my speakers. Okay. How are we now? Okay, I can hear you now. Somehow my speaker went down to nothing. I didn't do anything. I'm not sure what happened, but the speakers just went down from 60 to zero. So anyway, we're back. And so we were talking about how hydroxychloroquine. And you mentioned that that Trump had taken it, and that you also mentioned that Dr. Fauci had said earlier that in 2005 he mentioned hydroxychloroquine and its efficacy, and all of a sudden he was onto something else. It seems that he has been on the record. In several places, he'll say one thing one time, and then just the opposite at another point in time. And you kind of wonder, is he trying to be on record for everything just to cover his butt? What do you think?
You know, it's interesting you said that, Deanna, because I'm getting an echo here now on my end. Seems like we're having some strange trouble. So now it's gone. Okay. But yeah, Dr. Fauci, a number of people have mentioned this to me, how he'll take both sides on every position. He will say, you know, asymptomatic people are a problem, asymptomatic people are not a problem. And you need a mask, you don't need a mask. You know, he's been talking about how we need a vaccine, then he'll say vaccines are dangerous. It seems he takes, at some point, he'll make a statement on both sides of every issue. And that way, in the future, no matter what happens, he can go back and say, you see, I told you you needed it. I told you you didn't need it. You know, it seems like that is his playbook he's betting on every horse so that he can always be a winner. That's what one of the things about him. It's not something I see in every politician. Certainly Bill Gates is quite consistent in what he wants. But Dr. Fauci seems to like to play both sides of the table. But generally, he'll stay on Gates' side.
Right. Yes. And Gates seems to be, he funds the World Health Organization. He, of course, funds Gavi. He funds the media. Is there anything that he doesn't fund?
Yeah, anything that's natural. You know, in the book, I have a chapter on Bill Gates. And in addition to the vaccines, you know, he's... his foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is the largest foundation in the West, $46+ billion in assets. They have bought 5.3 million shares of Crown Castle, which is a 5G infrastructure provider. They also own 500,000 shares of Monsanto, of course, which produces glyphosate and GMOs. And he's also investing in lab-grown meat, of all things. You know, rather than have us eat the meat we eat, we should be eating his lab-grown meat. He's also investing in artificial breast milk, a company called BioMilk. And does also, and this is all from the mainstream, by the way. He's also got to invest in a plan to block sunlight, supposedly to stop global warming, by putting millions of tons of dust in the atmosphere. And he's also backing a plan to surround the Earth with surveillance satellites. But in any event, whether it's the human body or food or the environment. He doesn't like anything that's natural, and that's something that's disturbing. The other thing about Bill Gates, as sort of a common denominator, you can look at this guy, is that most people, if they ask you, you know, how should you keep yourself healthy and how could you protect yourself against COVID, I've never heard Bill Gates at one time, at any time, myself, ever say something like, you know, you should lead a healthy lifestyle. You should get some exercise, some fresh air. You should eat right. You know, build up your immune system. Take some, you know, supplement yourself with vitamin C and D, which are well known to support the immune system. I've never heard him say anything except that you need an injection of a vaccine that I've invested in. That's the only thing he talks about. Something else that points to the fact that he's not sincere. And by the way, he was caught on camera when it was Fareed Zakaria was telling him how terrible the economy was. He was beaming and giggling. Laughing. You know, he thought it's funny. Here's a guy who's never mind his foundation. He himself is worth over $100 billion. Now you've got tens of millions of people out of work, millions threatened with eviction. He thinks it's funny. So do we really want to trust this guy? Does he really care about humanity? Does anyone really think he cares about humanity? Of course, I also quote Robert F. Kennedy had an extensive post online, and I quote most of it in there, about all the damage, the death and paralysis that Bill Gates vaccines and sterility that have caused around the world.
Right. Now, if he really, really was a decent human being, he would use his money to fix things rather than to keep acquiring money to destroy humanity, basically. And the other thing about Bill Gates and a lot of other people in technology is that he did not allow his children, their children, to use technology such as the iPads and, whatever technology that was in their home, he never allowed his children to use it. He expected them to read books and to do things that were really beneficial. And so you have to question his motives, and certainly he has done a lot of destruction, as you mentioned, in India, where he's been kicked out. In fact, I think India has a lawsuit against him with the polio vaccine situation, where he went in and gave all these polio vaccines, and there was 147 children who developed polio, and then there was also the Gardasil vaccine. He is just a rotten human being, and of course you've seen where he's talking about injecting these things into children's arms. And he's laughing. He's talking with his wife, his partner, whatever she is. And I can't believe anybody would be that vile and that evil. And I really I don't believe that he invented anything in his garage. I think it was set up. His father was into Planned Parenthood. He was the head of Planned Parenthood in the Seattle area. His mother was from a banking family associated with the Federal Reserve there. This is all a setup. It isn't just happenstance that some dude by the name of Bill Gates got all this money. In fact, when the government took him to trial or questioned him about the monopoly, And I've watched certain aspects of when he was questioned. He just beat around the bush to the point that they did allow him to have this monopoly. And apparently, Steve Jobs didn't want to have any part of what this monopoly entailed. And it was a short time later that Steve Jobs actually passed away with cancer, supposedly. I'm very conspiratorial here, but you have to question this stuff.
Well, you know, James Corbett has an excellent series, came out recently called Who is Bill Gates? It's a 4-part series, and this thing is ultra-documented. That's something that I strive for in my own book, by the way. Almost 300 endnotes, because I know that when you hand my book to a skeptic, they're going to say, well, what's the source on that? So everything is sourced, but Corbett's got one. And not only does he talk about what Bill Gates is doing recently, he goes into the history of Microsoft, and he does reveal that there was a behind-the-scenes deal between IBM and Gates' mother, who asked, and actually have an interview with, it's on video, of an IBM executive, said the whole thing was a setup. And a lot of these rags to riches stories, you know, the guy who made it good, you know, for rock bands and other stories, we've heard a lot more and more of these stories that turn out to be setups rather than actualities. But yeah, Bill Gates was set up, and it seems not only to become the founder of Microsoft, but it seems that there was a long-term agenda involved there, doesn't it?
Right. Yes, I believe there was. And our wonderful producer, Bordop, said that the mother was on the board of IBM. So, the whole thing was set up. He didn't get to where he is by accident or by talent, because he really doesn't seem to have any talent, technically. When he doesn't talk about technical things. He just talks about vaccines, and he's a promoter. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask, what put all this money into his stewardship? And like you said, Corbett did an excellent job on who is Bill Gates, and I watched that, as many people have.
Right. I'm sorry, I lost my my train of thought there.
I just got off.
It's going to be a good one. I'll come back.
it'll come back to you. Yes, it is. It is really amazing how he all of a sudden has all this money, and people, especially now, when people have lost their jobs, and this COVID-19 situation has not affected the people that were already well off. It didn't affect Amazon. It didn't affect any of the big corporations. In fact, what it did was create a huge transfer of money. And if you look at some of the increases for some of these big corporations, you find that billions have been transferred during this relatively short period of time, where it could not have happened under normal circumstances.
Right. They said that Jeff Bezos actually made $12 billion in one day. Incredible. But of course, the big online companies are doing well under the COVID. And of course, the small mom and pop businesses are being crushed. I know what I was going to talk about before was, in addition to the things you were saying about Gates, was his complete lack of credentials. He has no medical credentials whatsoever. He's not a doctor. He's not an immunologist. He's not an epidemiologist. He has no medical training. And yet he is treated as if he is the world's greatest expert on how to handle epidemics and pandemics. You know, it's interesting how on mainstream media, I have never once seen anybody question Bill Gates about his lack of credentials. And it's interesting that someone like Dolores Cahill, who is a PhD immunologist and has credentials a mile long, professor at University College Dublin, she gets censored on YouTube, but there's never any censorship of Bill Gates.
Wow. And he is a college dropout. And even when he began Microsoft, he actually got rid of his partner. His partner got sick and had cancer, and Gates pretty much, he took advantage of the situation. He's not even nice to people that he should be nice to, like his partners. He's a real scumbag. He's a piece of garbage. I think we've clarified that.
Yeah, I think that pretty well sums it up.
Now, you mentioned Dr. Mikovits, and I just love her. Read both of her books. Read her book and her partner's book on masks. And you address her. You talk about her in your book, and she is such a wonderful person. She's so genuine. She's very brilliant. And she's genuine, and she says, and you pointed out, in the book well, let's see, what do you point out? It's a discussion that she had with Del Bigtree, who's very important in bringing a lot of things to light. And she said, according to a discussion she had with Del Bigtree, according to your book, that there's actually coronavirus in the flu shot. And Del Bigtree asked her about this. And I have only had one flu shot. I had it probably back in 2005. It's the only time I ever had flu. I was very sick. And I thought, boy, I'm never going to do that again. I did it because my doctor recommended it. And you know, people in authority, when they make recommendations, you think, oh, okay, they know what they're talking about. But I've learned that that's not always the case. Anyway, what do you feel about that or think about that? What is your investigation or your research on that?
Well, I should mention that Judy Mikovits had said that the coronavirus was in the vaccines. And actually, the person who spoke to Del Bigtree was Dr. Dolores Cahill, the immunologist I mentioned before, who was confirming what Mikovits had said.
Right.
She said that these flu vaccines are cultured in animals that do have coronavirus, and so you will end up getting coronavirus in that shot. Yeah. And, you know, a question I have is, you know, the thing that made COVID deadlier than the flu in the initial months, you know, I have a friend who's a very red-pilled doctor. She's a world-class doctor. She's highly educated, with working in a major hospital. So I sat down with her. She's been on guest on SGT Report, but we keep her name a secret, so she won't affect your practice. But I asked her, you know, is the COVID any deadlier than flu? She said yes, and she said what makes it deadlier is this autoimmune response that occurs in a few people. It's called cytokine storm, and there's a lot of literature on that online. You can find it very easily. And what happens is sometimes for just a few people, the COVID virus would invade the alveoli, which are the lung air exchange cells of the lungs, and there'd be an autoimmune reaction, which would be very rapid and could be deadly. That was what, but that can be stopped in its tracks by hydroxychloroquine. But she said that is what the distinction is. And I certainly do know some people who have died from COVID, secondarily, I know them. So I don't doubt that it's true. Dr. Judy Mikovits is one of those people I do admire very much. She, I read the first half of her book, Plague of Corruption. Then I had some cataract surgery, and I wasn't able to read till I got my new glasses. So I only got halfway through the book, but I'm going to finish it. But it's an outstanding book. Her sincerity shows through her words. She's not motivated by any agenda except the truth. And I would like to see a study done on these people who had cytokine storm to see what their vaccination record was, because this is a fact that Robert F. Kennedy talks about, that people, they tried to develop a vaccine for SARS, which is 79% similar genetically to COVID-19. That's according to The Lancet. And when they tried to develop a vaccine for SARS, the animals went into cytokine storm when they encountered the real virus. I would love to see a study done to see just exactly what the how many of these people who had this autoimmune reaction had been receiving these flu shots. I'll tell you a personal anecdote. My mother got a flu shot every year, and she got Alzheimer's so bad she could remember the sentence she started. She's a lot worse than Joe Biden is right now. I mean, she was really bad for the last 4 years of her life. If you went to the room and spoke to her for a half hour and you came back 30 seconds later, she wouldn't know you were there. On the other hand, my father, who never got a flu shot, at the age of 99, could still remember Charles Lindbergh flying overhead in 1927, clear as a bell. Now, of course, my mother and father were genetically dissimilar, and so you could always say, oh, that's just genetics. But I certainly believe that this is unquestionable. There is mercury in the flu shot.
Right.
There is thimerosal. The CDC admits that on their website. And when you get to the age of 90 or so, you can't handle that mercury anymore. as well as the aluminum, the adjuvant, and the other things that are in there. And so that's why I have no question in my mind that that's why we have this outbreak of Alzheimer's. Not that people didn't ever go into dementia before, but not at the, at the level we see today. So yeah, vaccines are a bad business. And again, the correlation between autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, and autism, and the increase in vaccines, I think it's so obvious, it's in your face. And that's why I recommend people download the movie Vaxxed by Del Bigtree, who, by the way, he got standing O's. He was the best speaker at the Red Pill Expo last year that I attended in Hartford, Connecticut. There were a lot of good speakers there, but nobody got a response like Del Bigtree. He's quite a guy. And as you probably know, a couple of weeks ago, his entire channel with over 400,000 subscribers was deleted by YouTube.
Right. Oh, what a shame. What a terrible thing. And he is. He's so personable. He's great. He's terrific. But you're right about the flu shot. They say that if you have it 5 years in a row, you're a candidate for Alzheimer's.
Right.
And we have seen a huge increase in Alzheimer's, and particularly when you're in a facility, an assisted living or memory care or whatever kind of a facility you're in, it's required that you have a flu shot.
Right.
So they've just, it's a sad thing. I'm sorry about your mother. It's what an awful thing. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, we had no idea at the time. I didn't put two and two together that she was getting the flu shot. Yeah,
people just, they trust their doctors. They trust science, or what they assume to be science. The flu has been around for what? It said in your book, it's been around for 84 years and we still have the flu. Isn't that what?
I didn't write that, but I saw something on Twitter that said we have the flu shot for 78 years and we still have the flu.
Right.
Exactly. This, by the way, this is one of the reasons why a coronavirus vaccine, why we should not develop one. This is pointed out, I quote Dr. Stefano Montaneri, an Italian nanopathologist. He said if he'd suggested such a thing as a student, he'd been kicked out of his classroom. The reason that he says is this, you know, coronavirus is one of the things that causes the common cold. Is that you never get immune to the common cold. People will get the common cold a couple hundred times during their lifetime, typically. And why? Because the coronavirus and the other viruses that cause the common cold keep mutating. So you develop a vaccine against coronavirus, guess what? It's going to keep mutating.
Sure.
And next year that vaccine will be worthless, but you'll still have the toxins of the vaccine in your body. It'll become this endless cycle of vaccines. You'll never get immune to something that constantly mutates. So that's just – I have a chapter called 8 Reasons Why We Don't Need a Coronavirus COVID Vaccine. That's not including hydroxychloroquine, which I set aside a whole chapter for, but that's one of the 8 reasons is the fact that the virus keeps mutating, you know, and you never develop immunity to a common cold and you'll never get immunity to coronavirus. They've got some other agenda behind us. And if you look what they're doing with the DNA altering mechanics of these mRNA and DNA vaccines, and Dr. Kerry Mahde, who I quote, has been very good on this. They're looking at changing our genetic makeup. And that's a very dangerous thing to tinker with.
Why? Why would they want to do that?
You know, Diana, I don't go into my book because I'm sticking strictly to the science and order book, you know. But if, you know, in my book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, and on my website, I have a chapter and a post. It's called Making Sense of the Supernatural. And, you know, for a long time, I thought the stuff about aliens and all that stuff was just a Pentagon psyop. You know, I didn't think that I believed. Mm-hmm. But then I started talking to people, and I talked to a Vietnam War vet who was I knew from church. And this guy, he's an engineer. He's not going to pull my leg. He told our Bible study that during the Vietnam War, they were on a nighttime bombing mission. They had a UFO right up next to them, and it was right on their radar. Then the thing took off like couple thousand miles an hour. And you start to dig into this stuff, you find that we are dealing with the movies call them aliens, but those are really fallen angels. And the movies love to talk about superheroes, you know, the Incredible mm-hmm. Hulk. Those are actually a reference to the giants that were actually on the earth before. These were transhumanized beans. The skeletons have been dug up, and if you look at L.A. Marzulli, he's got all kinds of newspaper articles from the 1900s, the 1800s and 19th century newspaper articles. Even the New York Times talking about they were digging up these skeleton giants a bit, the Smithsonian destroyed them all. They wanted to get rid of that biblical history of giants and the scientific history of it as well. But what was going on, if you look at the Bible chapter 6, it talks about how God brought a great flood on the earth. And, you know, when I wrote my book, Tornado in the Junkyard, we'll cover that on the other side.
Right? All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hear ye, hear ye. ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
Our guest is James Perloff. His website is jamesperloff.com. And we were talking about Vietnam, and you were talking about missiles, or not missiles, but things that they could not explain. I've read Doug Valentine's books on some of the stuff that are you back? Are you there? James, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got back to my
I was talking to myself.
Oh, that's all right.
I do that a lot. And I get quite a lot of information that way. Anyway, I was talking about, I gave him your website, and you were talking about Vietnam and some of the strange sights and things. And I've read Doug Valentine's books, and he talked about some of the experiments that they were doing with weather modification and things during the Vietnam years. And you talk about the large skeletons that were dug up. And yes, I've read about that also. And I've never tried to figure out where they came from or why or what, but I believe that there were giants on the earth, that we haven't always looked like we do. And I also believe that certain people have information that is not shared by the rest of us. Some of Tesla's, well, all of Tesla's work was stolen by the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. And of course, we are in a corporatocracy where the information that Tesla had was now in the hands of corporations that are using it to do very dreadful things. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. You know, I often felt that what we see going on with things like chemtrails, mm-hmm. That there's not only is this evil, I mean, you can tell there's an evil that goes beyond just human greed, bankers wanting to get rich of this. But there's also a level of technology, sort of an evil intelligence to what's happening in this long-term plan to take over the planet that goes beyond just normal, just beyond bad guys, but actually I believe goes to a supernatural level. And again, I don't talk about anything like aliens or fallen angels in my book on COVID. I don't want to break people's reality.
Oh, no.
So I just stick to the scientists. But when I was doing earlier research, I found that, the Bible and Genesis 6, for one thing, I'd written a book called Tornado in a Junkyard back in the late 90s, where mm-hmm. I discovered that there really was a flood on the Earth. That scientifically speaking, 75% of the Earth's rock is sedimentary. In other words, chiefly deposited by water. And also, you've got hundreds of billions of fossils. Where did they come from? You know, a fossil is remains that were covered by sediments. But normally, when an animal dies, it's either eaten by predators or it decays before sediments can cover it. You got to be covered, but with sediments fast, and the flood explains that.
Right.
We're not in another break already.
We're at the top of the hour. We'll be back momentarily.
Okay.
Don't go too far away now.
No, I won't. I'll stay right in.
Okay.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.